Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. God's presence and love surrounds us like the very air we breathe. Breathe deeply, my friends. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending recently, we want to extend to you our hope that you'll become a part of our family of faith here. Now, while there are a number of ways you can do that, perhaps the best and most effective is to get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. If you look at your bulletin insert, you'll find lots of ways that you can do that. I'm going to lift up a few things that are coming up. Next week is Chris Allen's farewell reception between services in Reed Hall. I hope you'll be here next week to thank Chris for his service here among us and to wish him well as he and Erica go to Florida to begin a new congregation and a kind of new life there all together. So next Sunday between services, if you want to get here a little bit early to greet him, I know he would appreciate that. Also, on the last Sunday of the month, the 25th, we're going to have a celebration of my retirement. I paused because I thought there would be lots of applause or something. I don't know. Yay, he's gone. Anyway, if you're planning to be at the lunch, please RSVP to let us know you're coming so there'll be plenty of food. I have no idea actually what's planned, but my guess is with the fun people planning it, it will be a fun time. I'd love to see you there. That's the 25th after this service beginning around 12:15. Let me remind you that we have our combined Sunday school class going for the summer in McWhorter Hall. It is on the topic of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Michael McRae is leading that class with the help of some other folks. I think you'll find it very informative and helpful. Also, as you know, because Chris and I are going to be leaving the staff of this church, you're going to be receiving two new pastors, Carol Cabin-Dillon and Brandon Baxter. And the very best way you could help welcome them is to wear your name tag. They got a lot of names to remember, okay? Now, if you have your name tag, if you can find it, please wear it. Begin to get into practice with that. If you don't have a name tag, you can sign up in Reed Hall to get a name tag. We asked for a $3 donation to cover the cost of the tag, but you know what? If you can't spring for that, we'll spring for it. The only thing is you have to wear it every Sunday afterwards, okay? That's a requirement. Name tags are hugely helpful when you're coming to a new congregation, as is a new pictorial directory, which we are in process of forming. You can sign up in Reed Hall to get your photograph made. It is so helpful once you've seen a name to connect it to a face, even when you're not in worship. It takes a while to get to learn everybody, and a directory and the name tags will help hugely. So let me encourage you to take part in both of those. Also, I'll remind you that our Tennessee Annual Conference session begins this afternoon, and that tomorrow morning at 8:30 at the opening worship service, your new senior pastor, Carol Cabin-Dillon, will be preaching. So we're really proud of her. We're going to have our West End section there to cheer her on. We might even bring a catfish or two to throw up there on the podium, you know? And then Tuesday evening at 7 is our service of commissioning and ordination and licensing. And we have a number of folks from this congregation, including Chris Allen, who is leaving us, and Brandon Baxter, who is coming to us, who will have a part in that, along with Stacy David-Heiser Gonzalez and Dane Von Ace. So we have a lot of our friends involved in that service Tuesday night at 7, if you would like to come. That's at Brentwood United Methodist Church. All of those are at Brentwood UMC. Also, if you ordered a t-shirt, they're in Reed Hall. Pick them up. You ever have a child come to you and say, "I love you this much"? It's just a wonderful feeling, isn't it? Except that only covers about not even quite half the world, does it? Because you see, God's love is this much and this much, this much, and this much, and even more, if you can imagine it. Stick around. We're going to talk more about that.
promise to be with us always. In all times, this promise gives us hope. Come and celebrate the eternal promises of Christ. Brothers and sisters, God not only desires our repentance, but longs to offer us forgiveness. Therefore, cast all your anxiety on God, because God cares for you eternally. Let us pray. Loving God, we confess that we do not always bring honor and glory to your name. We are rebellious and weak. We flee before your goodness. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us by the grace and mercy of Christ, that we may rise up again in peace, love, and serve. Friends, the Spirit of God is resting on you to restore, support, and strengthen you. Therefore, be at peace in the one who forgives and loves you.
Thank you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of John. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and that you have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name, that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated, and if there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, come on down, bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend, and that is perfectly okay. When I was just a little boy, I didn't live in the city. I lived way out in the country. And now, come on up, join us. Yeah, we got some more folks coming up for us. Good, good, good. I like to see all these beautiful faces. It makes my day and it makes my week. So come on and have a seat with us. When I was a boy living in the country, we had on the farm what we call ponds. Now, a pond is just a kind of little bitty lake. It's not as big as a lake. It's not as big as an ocean. A pond is something that you can see the ground all the way around it, but it's still got water in it. You can fish in a pond. You can swim in a pond. You can do all kinds of fun things. And one of the fun things we did with this pond was we would take rocks and we would kind of skip them. If they were kind of flat and smooth, we'd skip them and they might bounce once or twice. And every time they bounced, I noticed these little circles coming out. Sometimes we just threw a rock right out in the middle of the water. And when we did, first there would be one circle. It would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it touched the whole shore of the pond. But right after that would come another circle where I'd thrown the rock. It's a little wave, one wave after another, after another, after another. And each one of those circles would go all the way out until it touched the whole shore of the pond. Today is Trinity Sunday. And I want to tell you that God's love is like that rock that's thrown into a pond. Circles of love start spreading out. And they spread out until they touch everything in the world, everything in creation, everything in the universe. And that first circle that went out, we call God. And the second circle that went out, we call Jesus. And the third circle that went out is the Holy Spirit. It's all the same pond. But these are just waves of God's love washing over us. And you know what? It doesn't stop there. Because another wave of love washes over us when we come to church and we see all these people who care for us. We see the love they share for us. And then another wave goes out into the world as we love other people. So the waves of God's love just keep going out and out and out until they touch the whole universe. Now I'm going to be talking more about God's love, how it covers everything, how it's in everything. And when I do, you might want to think about those waves that go when you throw a rock in water, because they come out one after another, and they touch everything along the shore of that pond, or even a puddle. If you throw a rock in a puddle, you still get those little rings of water. That's the way God's love is. It touches all of us and everything. Let's pray. Thank you for your love, O God. Thank you for this creation, for the love that you shared in Jesus, for the very breath you breathe in us, your Spirit. And especially thank you that we can share that love with others. We can be one of those waves of love washing into your world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. We are very blessed among congregations. When you see children come up like this, there were 19 at the early service. I mean, just lots and lots and lots of kids who come along and come up. And that means that we also get to celebrate a lot of baptisms. We don't have any this Sunday, but sometimes we celebrate two or three a week. Now, do you realize there are churches that don't celebrate two or three baptisms in a year? There are churches that don't celebrate two or three baptisms in a decade. We are so richly blessed by the number of children and adults who come to us saying, we want to be baptized, or we want our child to be baptized. And one of the advantages that comes with that is that we get to say again and again and again those promises that we make as members of this congregation. We get to hear those promises that the person being baptized or the parents of the child being baptized make. But we also get to make those promises again and again and again. And one of those is that we will surround each of those persons with a community of love and forgiveness. The problem with having this many baptisms and getting to say that so often is that sometimes we say it so often we don't even listen. We've forgotten what we're promising and it just becomes rote. It's a powerful thing to say that we are going to create in this place, among these people, a community of love and forgiveness. So how do we figure that? What kind of love? Well, of course, Jesus, when asked what the greatest commandment was, borrowed on his own tradition from the Hebrew scriptures. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I can live with that because, you know, I don't always love myself, so that gives me an out with my neighbor, right? It means that I can be a little inconsistent with this loving business and I can still get by. Love your neighbor as yourself. I could probably, if I worked hard, do that. Maybe if I didn't even work that hard. Maybe I could just love the people that are likable and not the others, because I can love what's likable about myself and not other aspects of myself. But then you get to the Gospel of John, and Jesus is always upping the ante about this love business. Now, the Gospel of John is radically different from the other three. He comes from a way different place than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There is no birth narrative in John, but Jesus rather is that creative spoken word that God breathed into the world and made everything that is. Wow, that's a different start, a different beginning. And it doesn't stop there. John continues his own peculiar description of this man, Jesus, specific to him in so many ways, so that when Jesus gives his commandment to add to the love God, love your neighbor as yourself, he ups the ante by saying, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, now, wait a minute. That's a much taller order than loving my neighbor as myself. To love as Jesus loved? As Jesus loved those dullards among his followers who didn't get what he said again and again and again, no matter how many times he explained it to them, how many different ways he told it to them? That Jesus loved the one who betrayed him, the one who denied knowing him, those who deserted him? Love one another as Jesus has loved us? That's something to aspire to. But then you get to chapter 17, and he does it again. Chapter 17 falls in that set of passages during which Jesus is preparing his followers, his disciples, to be without him. What do disciples do when their master is no longer with them? What do disciples do when their rabbi is no longer there to teach them, either by word or example? Well, he helps. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll return. I'll take you to myself. He does all of this preparation with them. And then, here, Jesus prays for his disciples. And in his prayer, he says, everything you have given me, God, I passed along to them. Everything you taught me, I taught them. Everything you showed me, I showed them. Your very nature is what they see in me. And then he says, may they be one as you and I are one. What? We are supposed to love one another as Jesus and God love one another? That's even more than what he ever said before. That's even a taller order than loving as Jesus loved us. On this Trinity Sunday, we remember that God's love comes to us in several ways. Those waves of love enter the world through creation. They enter the world through Jesus. They enter the world through the Holy Spirit. We celebrated that. We told that story last week. And the love that binds Jesus and the Creator and the very breath of God, the Spirit, together, we are supposed to have that love among us. You see, this is what John Wesley was talking about when he talked about perfection. He wasn't talking about never making a mistake. We all make mistakes. He was talking about learning to love the way God loves. Not just your neighbor as yourself. Not just how Jesus has loved us. But the way God and Jesus and the Spirit love one another. That love that Dante says moves the sun and moon and stars. That love that holds the atoms and the subatomic particles together. That love that not even the black holes in the universe can devour. That love that is never ending. That love that is steadfast. That love that binds together the very fabric of creation and expands throughout all the universe. That's the love we're supposed to have among us. Which is why it says a community of love and forgiveness. Because when you're talking about that kind of love, we are destined to fail. Forgiveness is the only way we get there. Over the past 7.5 years, I have done plenty of things to ask your forgiveness for. Some of them out of ignorance, some of them because I thought I knew better and was right, until I learned that maybe being right wasn't even the point. We have a lot that we need to ask each other forgiveness for. We all must ask forgiveness of the other, because that is the way God's love is reformed in us. That's the way we become a community of love, through forgiveness. When Jesus is talking about saving his disciples from the world, when he's talking about protecting them from evil, he's not talking about the creation. He's already made it clear throughout the Gospel of John. God is infused, and God's love and presence is infused in every bit of creation. The world as he describes it, the evil that he's protecting them from, is an attitude, a way of thinking. A way of thinking that, well, the earth really isn't God's and the fullness thereof. It really isn't good the way God called it good. It's just stuff that I can use to exploit for my own benefit. And so I really don't have to honor creation. I really don't have to do anything except make as much as I can off of it. That's the attitude of the world. The attitude of the world and the evil that Jesus protects his disciples from is the attitude that those folks are not only are they not blessed and beloved children of God, they're not even people. They're commodities. And as commodities, I can treat them like I treat the rest of creation, can use them, and if they're damaged or destroyed in the process, who cares? That's the attitude of the world. Jesus confronts that with a different attitude. The attitude of God's love that expands through the whole universe and gives us the example of how forgiveness functions in that. He's hanging on the cross, looking down on the people who drove spikes through his wrist and his feet, and he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's how Jesus confronts the attitudes of the world. That's what disciples do. What disciples do is that we not only say we're going to create a community of love and forgiveness, but we create that community. And with all of our failings and all of our faults, forgiveness is the way we hold it together. My favorite description or observation, I guess you would say, about forgiveness comes from Anne Lamott. She says, "To refuse to forgive is like sitting there and drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. It doesn't hurt the rat. It just eats you up inside. Forgiveness is the way we move toward perfection in Wesley's term. It is the way we learn to love as God and Jesus and the Spirit are held together in one love. It is the way we become a part of those rings, those waves of God's love that move out across our community, ultimately across the whole universe. I think we are that kind of community. Not perfectly, of course, we don't do it perfectly, but we are that kind of community. I experienced that kind of community when I came here. You had no idea what you were getting when I came here. This gray-bearded storyteller who didn't stand in the pulpit, give me a break. This is West End. And yet you embraced me with that same kind of love. And I bet every single staff person here will say that they were embraced with that same kind of love. I bet a lot of you are sitting here because you were embraced by that same kind of love when you arrived. We are a community of love and forgiveness. That's what we do. That's what disciples do. Not just here, but in the world where many people don't do that. We see God's beloved children in people where other people don't even see them as human. We see God's goodness woven into the universe where other people only see a quick profit, something that can be used and used up if necessary. We see God, waves of God's blessing going out and out and out, and we know we're a part of that. We are a part of those waves of God's love. And now you're going to be getting two new staff persons. And they're going to be able to experience that same community of love and forgiveness that I did, that other staff members have. And there's no telling what will happen in this congregation and through this congregation with those waves of God's love expanding into the world from this place. Because you see, it doesn't depend on any one pastor. It doesn't depend on any one lay leader. It depends on the fact that God has dropped love into the world, into creation, in Jesus, in the breath of the Spirit, and those circles of love keep expanding. And we are part of those circles. And we are going to continue to expand God's love as a community of love and forgiveness, as long as we have breath and life, because it is God's love in which we live and move and have our very being. May it be so. Thanks be to God. We tell our stories in lots of ways, and one is through statements of faith and affirmations. I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. And join me as we affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, I invite you to share signs of peace and forgiveness and love with those around you. The peace of Christ be with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad that you are here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have about this congregation. They will be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. They can be identified by their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they are to be shared or are confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. We invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service today. Today we celebrate with a rose on the communion table the birth of Ann Walton Herbert, who was born May the 30th to Rachel and Eric Herbert. She is welcomed also by her big brothers, Henry and Will Herbert. We also today offer our sympathy to several families within our congregation. We offer our sympathy to the family of Christine Sladen Tibbett, who died Friday, June the 9th. Among her survivors are her sons, Terry and Randy Tibbett, her granddaughter, Waverly Tibbett, her niece, Sue Saleto, and her nephews, Dan and Bob Sladen. A memorial service is scheduled for Friday, June the 16th at 11 a.m. in the sanctuary here. Visitation will begin at 10 a.m. in Reed Hall. We also extend our sympathy to the family of Dr. Walter Gobble, who passed away on Friday, June the 9th. Service will be at the church Tuesday, June the 13th at 11 a.m. Visitation begins at 10 a.m. in Reed Hall. Among his survivors is his wife, Liz Gobble. We also extend our sympathy to Nan Bowers, the family of Nan Bowers, whose mom, Sammy Jo Doss Andrews, died early this morning in Batesville, Arkansas. West End members are Nan and Greg Bowers, Katie Bowers Coleman, and Amy Bowers Myers and their families. Arrangements have not been finalized, but the service will be early this week in Marianna, Arkansas. We also want to express our sympathies to the family of West End member Brian McKinney on the death of his mother, Carolyn Love McKinney. Carolyn passed away on June the 6th, and her memorial service was this past Thursday in DeQueen, Arkansas. We also want to lift up the family of Reverend Dr. Mark Forrester on the death of his wife, Elaine Billingsley Forrester. Dr. Forrester is the university chaplain and director of religious life at Vanderbilt University. The visitation will be on Tuesday, June the 3rd from 5 to 8 p.m. at City Road Chapel, United Methodist Church. The funeral will be on Wednesday, June the 14th at noon, with visitation 1 hour prior at City Road Chapel, United Methodist Church. Please keep all these families in your prayers. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We come before you, O God, with joyful and grateful hearts. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need this day. We pray for the people of God in every land, for witnesses who by their example show your steadfast love, for the strength to walk in your ways and observe your commands to love our neighbor. We lift up all nations, communities, and families torn by violence, for leaders and protesters, for managers and visionaries, for dictators and peacemakers. We especially pray this day for the children of Yemen who are in the midst of a cholera outbreak, and the children of Sudan who are suffering from immense famine and hunger, and the many people who are refugees escaping fear and death in their homelands. We know, O God, that your mercy is great. Remind us, merciful God, that the earth and its riches are for all the people who inhabit this great creation. We give you thanks for the wetlands, rivers and lakes, oceans and air. May we honor this beautiful planet instead of abuse it for our own purposes. We pray for all people who are victims of injustice, for those unemployed or underemployed, for those living on the streets, for people struggling with addiction, anger, fear, or illness, and for all those who have asked this congregation for prayer. For this community of faith, for those who come to worship every week and those who cannot come, for the young and the not so young, for newcomers and familiar faces, for those who are seeking to know you and the newly baptized in every land, we lift up our prayers to you, O God. And to your promises, we entrust all those whose needs are known to us today and those whose needs are only known to you. Grant peace to all as we pray together in one voice the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let the giving of God's tithes and our offerings serve as a tangible way of bearing witness to the good news of the gospel.
Thank you.
now go forth as waves of God's love across the world, as far as the vast reaches of the universe, knowing that the love that is shared by God, who created us, Jesus Christ, who walked among us, and the Holy Spirit that breathes through us, that very love will be with us now and forever.